Great Prayers of the Bible. We've been looking at that for a while and hope that's helping. I know it is. Great Prayers of the Bible. And we're looking at some things today on God's will. God's will is something people puzzle over. It's like, well, yeah, that would be good, God's will, but I don't know what it is. Or God's will that be hard? I mean, he might make me a missionary to Outer Mongolia or somewhere. Well, God's will, why would I want God's will? People have all kinds of reactions to God's will. We're going to study that for a little bit. I hope you're up for it. Are you up for some more? Okay, open your hearts and minds, and I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest blessings in life, is to find God's will. You may not think so, but usually it comes down to two things. People say, well, I can't figure out what God's will is. Or the other one is, I don't want God's will. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. So we got to deal with those issues. The first scripture we're going to have is in John chapter 6. It should be on the screen there. John 6, verse 38. But I want to start back at verse 35. It won't be on the screen there, but you'll have to open your Bible and look at it. John 6, 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. This is the time in John 6 where people started leaving him. Did you know Jesus, people left him in droves. He had a lot of followers at first. And when he said, I'm the bread of life, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any part with me. And oh, that thinned them out fast because they said, we don't believe in cannibalism. Later he told the disciples, he said, no, I'm talking spiritual things. It's not about the body and the blood. It's about the spirit, about spiritual things. So he said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. They had a hard time with that one, didn't they? If you're thinking only, and we have that trouble sometimes in the assembly and church, if you're thinking only of the flesh, you'll miss so much. It just goes right over your head, and you don't get it, don't understand it. And you think, why would he say that? Well, why would Jesus say you'll never go hungry? He's talking about spiritually, isn't he? And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus said, the Father's giving me people. That's part of our prayer in this notebook, isn't it? Send helpers that we need. Send people you know will come here and help. And so Jesus said, they're beginning to leave because of what he said. And now he's saying, but my Father's giving me the right people. He's giving me the right people, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. The real ones, remember the context, people are leaving saying, I'm not going to follow that man anymore. He says outrageous things. He's saying to them, but God's sending me some that when I say things and I speak these things, it won't drive them away. They won't leave. Are you willing to stick with Jesus no matter what? You seem undecided. Are you willing to stick with Jesus no matter what? So you're one of those that says, whatever he tells me, he can't drive me away. However he may disappoint my prayer life, I may ask for things I don't get, but he's not going to drive me away. I had a mentor one time that said, they were talking about withdrawing fellowship from people, and churches sometimes do that. They say, well, if you're in rebellion or if you're in immorality, the church can ask you to leave. And he said, there's no eldership in the country that could withdraw fellowship from me, because if they call me in and tell me what the problem is, I'm going to repent. That's what Jesus is talking about. Are you with him for thick and thin? Are you with him for better or worse, as the marriage vow says? He said, my Father's given me people like that. Verse 38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So why was he here? We're going to look at the will of God and we're going to say, okay, how does that apply? How does that apply to me? Jesus knew how it applied to him. How did it apply to him? He said, that's why I'm here. I'm not here to get rich. I'm not here to build mansions. I'm not here to have an easy life. I'm not here to, like the Romans, you know, lay up in great marble halls and have banquets and orgies all the time. He said, I'm not here to do anything I want to do. I'm here to do the Father's will. And this is the will, verse 39, of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me. See, people are leaving him, and he's saying, you may leave, but the real ones are going to stay. You may leave, but I can't drive away the real ones. And he said, I'm not going to lose anybody. Verse 39, I'm not going to lose anybody. I'll raise them up at the last day, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Is God's will good? You're going to get raised from the dead one day, and you're going to be glorified just like Jesus. So he said, I'm here to do the Father's will. What's the Father's will? I want to take the people he has given me, and I'm going to raise them up in the last day. Some commentators call it the remnant, or the few that will believe on Jesus. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, he told four different kinds of soil that he sowed seed into. The seed is the word of God, and four different kinds of soil. Guess what? Only one group, about 25%, actually got it and followed him. So we're experiencing that even today in many churches. There are a few that really are hardcore followers, and the rest are just kind of along for the ride. Which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be when you face Jesus one day? I don't tell you these things to scare you. I tell you these things to say, let's have some wisdom about how we do this. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body, Paul said. So wisdom would say, well, let me get my act together now, because, or let me seek God now. Let me find the will of God now and live it out as he wants me to. This is the will of God, verse 39. Now think about it. When I read this, think, is this good or bad? This is the will of God, that I'll lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Is it a good thing to get raised from the dead? And not in this it'll be this body, but it won't look like it does now. Some people say, thank goodness. It won't look like it does now. And it'll never age, and it'll be glorified to go into heaven. It'll look like Jesus does now. It won't look like a carpenter from Nazareth. It will look like he looks now, as he appears now, glorified. Is that good? Well, that's God's will. So his will is good, isn't it? Verse 40, for my Father's will is that whoever, everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Is that good? Living forever in heavenly realms, is that good? Sinless, free, no evil, no jails, no hospitals, no police forces, no violence, no hospitals. Is that good? That's God's will. That was God's will from the beginning, but he let Adam and Eve have their choice. We've all had our choices. We've all made our choices, and sometimes not that good. But he's going to correct all of that. That's good. So the will of God is good. The next slide up here, I put this. The will of God is a blessing. Don't be afraid of the will of God. It's a blessing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse, I'm going to give you a few scriptures here to show you that the will of God for your life is a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. I just put part of it up here. But it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, or pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now look at it again. It's in some Bibles, those verses are separated. Those ideas are separated by verses. What are we supposed to do first? Rejoice when you feel like it. Oh, what does it say? Rejoice always. Rejoice no matter what. See, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. Something good happens, you're happy. If something bad happens, you're not happy. What is rejoicing? A choice. the choice to rejoice. I'm just going to be happy. I've got problems. I got difficulties. I got things going on I don't like to deal with, but I'm just going to be happy. I'm going to rejoice. My happiness comes from that rejoicing. I'm going to rejoice, and then everybody will wonder what I've been up to. Rejoice. Is that the will of God for you? To be a rejoicer? What is rejoice? Full of joy. Do you know some people that are happy no matter what they're going through? How did they get there? They just made a choice to rejoice. It's God's will for me to rejoice, so I'm not going to go against His will. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually, it says. That's part of God's will, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, if you love the Lord and you love to be in His presence and you get a lot of energy from His presence and you get this intimacy with Him, with the Divine One, if you get all that intimacy with Him, prayer is not a chore. It's not a struggle. It's a joy. It's a joy. You ever seen couples, young couples that have never really had a relationship with anybody, and they meet that one person, boy, their eyes meet, and they meet that one person, and they're just kind of giddy in each other's presence, right? They just, Judy and I were dating, she was in college, ULM, and we went through, I wasn't going to school there, but I could go in and eat, pay the fee and eat lunch, so we went through the lunch line. And we were going through the lunch line, getting our trays and putting all the stuff on the trays and moving along. I got something and I was moving and I looked over here. Judy was getting something. She was looking down. And I saw one of the lunch ladies back there. She didn't know I saw her, but this lady said, "They're in love." They didn't even know us. You're just kind of giddy, silly, it's on your face. It's the way you walk. It's the way you talk. When you get that way with God, nobody has to beg you to pray. Nobody has to tell you you've got to pray continually. You do it anyway. Is that the will of God? He wants you so close to Him that you not only don't mind praying, you can't wait to get there. David said, "When can I go and meet with God?" The psalmist, anyway, said that. Rejoice always, that's God's will. Pray continually. What's the third one? Give thanks when you feel like it. All circumstances. No matter what's going on, you still thank God. Why? Because you know it's not over yet. You know this too shall pass. You know better things are headed your way, even though you got a problem now. It's not going to be that long. It's not going to last that long. I saw a video one time of a little kid having to go get a shot, and the mama was there and the nurse was there, and the kid was just so scared and nervous, and he didn't want to get the shot. So finally the nurse got the needle in there, poked him and gave him the shot. He straightened up and he said, "Well, that didn't hurt." He had worried about that probably for days and didn't even hurt. Are these hurts passing quickly? And God gives you an anesthetic. He gives you an anesthetic through your relationship to Him. You ever been through something terrible and you look back and wonder how you got through it? I have. God gave you an anesthetic and you knew you were going through it, but you didn't realize, you know. If you've had some procedures done, they do that with a heart cath. Usually you're wide awake, but you don't feel anything. So, give thanks when in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. So this is the will of God. God's will is a blessing. Next slide. It's going to be Ephesians 5, verse 15. You can write these down and study them later. Ephesians 5, verse 15, starts at verse 15. It starts off with this, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So if you don't grasp and understand the Lord's will, you're being foolish. What is foolish? Well, we've been reading Proverbs. We read Proverbs, finished this past week. Why does he mention fools so much in Proverbs? Fools and wisdom, fools and wisdom, fools and wisdom. What's the difference? Fools are, I like one thing, he's Solomon, that's King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, except Jesus. And King Solomon said, you can take a fool and you can put him in a mortar and a pestle where you grind stuff up in the pharmacy. He said, you can grind a fool till there's almost nothing left, and he's still a fool. I thought, there's no reclaiming some people, he said. He'd seen a lot of foolish people. He's a king, and he gets to see foolish people all the time trying to get him to do things that he knows are not right. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Is that the Lord's will? No. Which leads to debauchery. Debauchery means an ungodly life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 15, it goes on through verse 20. Is it God's will for you to be filled with the Spirit? Is that a good thing? Oh, yeah. It's good. You see, your joy in God comes from what the Spirit does, not what you do. Love, joy, peace, patience, all these things called the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. God's will is a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing because of what he just said here. You don't want to be foolish. You want to understand what the Lord's will is. What's the Lord's will? Be filled with the Spirit. Didn't he just say that? That's my will. Be filled with the Spirit. You say, I don't know what that is. Well, find out. How did Jesus tell people to find out things? Ask, seek, knock. The asking one receives, the seeking one finds, the knocking one has a door open. So get busy asking. Lord, I want your Spirit. I don't know what that means, and I don't know if I've ever experienced that, but I really want your Spirit living in me. I know he does by my legal right as a believer. I have the right to that. When Acts 2, it's not on the screen here, Acts 2:38 says that not only are you baptized, but it talks about the idea of the Spirit. You will not only receive forgiveness of sin, Acts 2:38, you'll receive the gift of the Spirit. So you already have, if you're a believer, a born-again believer, you already have the Spirit. You just need to learn how to be filled. In other words, take advantage of. Take advantage of the Spirit. You got some power there. You got the power of God in you. I read a funny story about an old guy lived way out west back in the day, back when cars were, I think it was a deuce, and he wound up striking oil on his, just an old prospector, and he struck oil on his little bit of property. Oil started gushing. He made a lot of money off the oil. But he bought a Duesenberg car, which was that's why they say it's a doozy. Those cars were very expensive back in the 30s. And they said he came into town one day, and he had his team of mules hooked to the Duesenberg, and he was driving his team of mules pulling the Duesenberg. Why was he doing that? He didn't know how the Duesenberg worked. But he's wanted to show it off anyway. So Christians have that Duesenberg power, and we're still hobbling along on donkey power sometimes because I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that is. Well, find out, right? It's your choice. Be filled with the Spirit. He said, don't try all these other things. Just be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we don't know how to do that. Sometimes we don't know what that means. Sometimes we don't know what that's going to be like. Well, do it anyway, right? This is the next slide. This is confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Is God's will a blessing? He says here, if you understand God's will, if you ask in your prayers, you ask according to His will, it's a guarantee. What's the guarantee? If it's His will, He hears us, and we know that if He hears us, next slide, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. What does that say? If I know it's God's will, I can ask. And I can say, Father, please. And the Father says, you got it. Because you're thinking like me now. You've come into harmony with me and my will, and you're just coming along right with me, and you're going to get it. Why? Because it's His will. Now, if you're asking something you know is not God's will, might as well quit. He's not going to violate His own will, is He? His own justice, His own word. If it's in the Bible and it's wrong in the Bible and yet you're praying for it, just stop praying for it because He's not going to give it to you. If it's wrong, if it's against His will, praying for your boss to die so he can get his job. No. You laugh, but I bet some people do that once in a while. I wish that guy would move on. I wish something happened to him so I could have his job. We don't think like that, do we? The world does. So ask according to his will. The next slide. How do we find his will? A lot of people have that struggle, right? I don't know what God's will is. Let me give you a little help. It's all right here. If you don't have time for this book, you don't have time for God's will. But how could I ever know all of that? No, you don't have to know it all. Just start somewhere. Because the Spirit of God wrote this at the Father's will, and it is God's will. Your Bible somewhere in there says New Testament and Old Testament. Well, that's an ancient word for the will. When somebody dies, they have a will. Well, what's the will? You get this, you get that. It used to be called testament. Last will and testament sometimes. This is God's will. And you got to get to know it. If you think these things are too hard for you and you just can't do it and you can't come up with the energy, you will suffer. You will just suffer. And you will never be close to God. And you'll never know God. And you'll never know the life of peace and joy and love that you want. You try to find it in the world, but it's not there. Look around. Look around. How many? I see these. I don't watch these things, but I see once in a while ads for these award shows in Hollywood, award shows, music shows. Some of those people get up there. They look tortured. Even in their appearance, they just look like tortured people. The world doesn't have the answer. Stop feeling that we are inferior to the world. They are the ones that need to wise up. They are the ones that need to learn. They are the ones out there in the dark. The Bible calls it darkness. And we have come to the light. Don't be ashamed of who you are as a Christian. Don't let them intimidate you. The devil will try to shame you. Well, you're just not up to speed, and you're not in style, and you're not with what's going on around you, and you just the world doesn't have any answers. Why is there so much turmoil and war and violence and politics that we all kind of turn away from and say, you got to be kidding me with these politics? I'm not talking about either one side or the other. It's both of them. And you say, what is going on here? They are lost. The Bible calls it lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save who? Who? The lost. Why would he need to save the world if they weren't lost? They don't have a clue. I know because I used to be there. Did you used to be there? You say, I can testify to that. I didn't have a clue. I didn't even know where to start finding a clue. I thought I knew everything. I thought these Christians were silly people that just huddled up in their little churches and tried to avoid the world. No, they found out something. They found out where true life is, and it's in a person. His name's Jesus. And once they found out, they want to tell somebody else. They get annoying sometimes, I guess, but we want to tell somebody else about it. So in this slide here, it says, how do we find his will? Look at Romans 12. I got to hurry, but Romans chapter 12. I got to hurry, but you know the Super Bowl's not on until 5:30. So you'll make it. Amen. So I got, 4 hours before that, something like that. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? A living sacrifice means I've signed on. I'm yours. I'll do what you ask me to do. I'll do what you ask me to do. A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, he says. Do not conform, next slide, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to do what? Test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect. Is God's will a blessing? He just said it. So what do you got to do? You have to forget yourself. Somebody said, The greatest barrier to you finding God's will is your own will. Did Jesus have that struggle? We'll see in a minute. Didn't he have that struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, Father, I don't want, this is terrible. I don't want to do this. But not my will, but yours. If Jesus struggled with it, if he struggled with it and won, what about us? Yes, your flesh will revolt against God's will, but you've got to put your flesh under your control and say, no, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm doing God's will. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, perfect. Is God perfect? His will is perfect. His will is your protection. His will is your blessing. His will gives you the great life you want to have, only not the way you thought it would be. My life over these years, what I thought I would be when I was in high school and college, what I thought would be great to have and great to do, I look on it now and say, like Paul said, it was all garbage and rubbish and wasted time. And, you know, it's like, I don't want that anymore. I want His will. Don't you want His will? His will. It's good. He's not going to make you. One guy said, I was always scared to become a Christian. I thought God would send me to somewhere like Timbuktu to be a missionary. And his buddy said, that was already a Christian, his buddy said, well, yeah, but he said, if he sends you to Timbuktu, you'll love it. If it's his will, you'll just love it. You'll say, why didn't I find this place earlier? I should have come here a long time ago. God's will is always a blessing. Now, it may demand a little bit of struggle, but it's a blessing. The next slide. This is Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 1, isn't it? We, Paul says, have not ceased to pray for you, Colossian church, who he's praying for. Not ceased to pray for you. We keep on doing it, he said. And we ask that you may be filled. Isn't it good to be filled with good things? Filled with a knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. That's the New American Standard. What's he praying for the Colossian church for? He said, I'm asking. I keep on asking. I'm not giving up on this. I'm going to keep it up. I'm going to keep on asking. Why do we have to keep asking? Because every time you pray, you have an enemy. 1 John chapter 5, not on the screen here, but 1 John chapter 5 says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So every time I pray, Paul's praying for something good for the Colossian church, the devil's trying to figure out, okay, now how can I stop that? How can I throw a monkey wrench into it? How can I mess with people's minds so they won't understand this? How can I send some demons in there and those demons will disrupt their lives so much they won't listen to what Paul's saying? He's saying, no, I keep on praying. I keep on praying. I'm praying that you will be filled with knowing His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Is God's will a blessing? He said, I want you to have it. You'll have it. You'll know it. Colossians 1, verse 9. The next one is Ephesians 3. I pray. He's praying. The reason I brought these up, he's praying about churches. And he's saying to these churches, I keep asking. Did you know you can change somebody else's heart? No, you can't change it, but you can pray for someone that's not even here. You can pray for someone that lives in Montana. You can pray for someone who lives in China. You can pray for someone who lives anywhere on this planet. You can pray for a missionary in the middle of Africa. You can pray for these people, and God's answers will come. You pray, and he's praying for these churches, and he's basically saying, may you have God's will. If God's will is not a blessing, why is he praying for them? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Is that God's will? Look at what he said. I'm praying. And I'm praying that out of his glorious riches, how rich is God? And he's got riches more than just what we would think of as riches. He's got spiritual power and riches that nobody can touch. You ever think about who God is? All of the known universe, all of the known universe to God is like that little potted plant you got in your kitchen. Everything we've ever heard of, everything in the universe, just a little backyard project of God. And one day he's going to do what? Get rid of it and build a new heavens and a new earth. He's transcendent above all things. He dwells in light, unapproachable. You ever seen a bright light and you couldn't look at it? The sun, 93 million miles away and you can't look at it. Can you imagine what God's presence is like? Light, unapproachable. Perfection. Complete justice. But God is love. I marvel at God sometimes, and even say in my prayer once in a while, it's like, you have everything, and you have all the power there is, and yet it didn't go to your head. You have all the power there is, and you're still kind to people who hate you. Lord, if it was me, there'd be some snuffing out going on, you know, like, there'd be some people in big trouble if I had all that power. Dictators on our planet, dictators usually wind up killing themselves because that power goes to their head. They think they're a god and everybody's got to do their will. God's not that way. He lets you choose his will. So this is a struggle going on right here in this room this morning. He lets you choose his will for you. You don't have to. But he sure loves it when you do. And it is a blessing. And when you do, the blessings are released in ways. Don't think it out too carefully. I mean, sometimes we overthink things. You overthink it like, well, what will it mean? What will it be? What will I have to give up? What will I have to give up? He's got ways of fulfilling you that you haven't even thought of. Ask around to some of these believers in this room and they'll tell you, oh, when I found God, I found my treasure. When I found God, my life just opened up. You know, I could say that. Ways I never expected. Ephesians 3:16. Mark chapter 14. Let's get to this one before we quit. Here's Jesus' prayer in the garden. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Jesus taught that all the time, didn't he? With God, all things are possible. He said, I know you can do this. You can do this. If it's your will. And then his prayer was, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. I changed it a little bit because will sounds so formal. But Jesus just said, basically, I don't want to do this. And he said to his own disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray that you won't fall into temptation because the Spirit is willing. Everybody in here probably has a willing spirit. But what else? Flesh is weak. Did Jesus have to wrestle his flesh? This stunned me one time when I realized that he had the same struggle I do. He had to wrestle his flesh until the blood came out of his pores. His flesh revolted against doing this will of God so hard that he bled. That he said to his disciples, my soul is sorrowful, grieving even unto death. Pray with me. And he said to his father, if it's possible, let this cup. You go back and study cup in the rest of the Old Testament, it's the wrath of God. Even I think in Revelation, it's the wrath of God. He knew he had to go under that and leave his father's presence and his father not know him anymore and turn away from him because he now has become sin. Why does God hate sin? Because of what it does to us. Why does God hate sin? Because that's what the devil does. And the devil tries to kill God in every way he can. He knew, Jesus knew he was going under that wrath of God. And he even prayed, according to Hebrews, he said, he prayed loud crying and tears to the one who could save him from death. Loud crying and tears. Hebrews 7, I think it is. Loud crying and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He submitted to the will of God. And he said, I just want your will. This is killing me. But I just want your will. He was heard. He was saved. He had to die, but he was saved out of death. He didn't know when he went into that darkness for sure he would come out, but he prayed and he got the assurance by faith. Jesus did what he did by faith. He died for you by faith that he would come out of that hellish darkness, cut off from his Father. He didn't deserve that. He'd never sinned. He'd never sinned. He got what we deserved. He got what you deserved and took it on himself. So he's praying. Can this please pass? My flesh does not want to do this. Let this cup pass from me, but what do you want? Now that's the epitome of seeking the will of God. He is our example. Now for most of the time you receive God's will, it won't be suffering. He already did that suffering. You can't do that. You can't die for the sins of the world. You can't go through that horror because he already did. But what can you do? Well, Sunday morning class, we've been studying about that. You can suffer, I mean, in the sense of, I will do God's will, and some of your friends quit you. I will do God's will, and you might lose a job. I will do God's will, and my spouse and I might not ever get along again. I mean, sometimes you pay a price, right? The will of God is a blessing. Is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection a blessing? The biggest blessing we have, and it came through yielding to God's will. The last slide we have, we're going to pray over the note, but we pray over this notebook a lot. Every time we think of it in class, and every time we're here, and if you don't know what that is, it's a book full of names. You've turned in these names, pages and pages and pages of names, of people who are not believers. That we believe God wants to touch these folks. Some of them have been believers and they fell away and they haven't come back yet. Some have come back. We've gotten answers. I had the last page or so, a list of the answers. Now, we keep it private because a lot of people who don't know the Lord don't want to be prayed for. Certainly don't want it announced. So when I pray, you're praying, aren't you? Do you have somebody in mind that you want them to come to the Lord or come back? While I'm doing this, while I'm praying for this, you're praying for it too. And as we do that, we're going to ask the Father to touch these folks. Father, thank you for our time together today, for your wonderful people here. We ask you that as we mention these names in this notebook, we have some, I know in this room, even in their own hearts right now, they're praying for somebody that they put in this book. And as I pray a general prayer, Father, for the ones in the book, I ask that you open their hearts, that you help them understand what the will of God is, that you help them, Father, and as you do, open their hearts, open their minds, open their lives, and touch them. They will not ask at this point in their life. There may not be anyone. They may not know very many people who would even pray for them. So we're doing that. We're standing in on their behalf. Standing in on their behalf so that they can have your life come into them. We know that it's a miracle, Father. We know it's a miracle when somebody hears the message and you touch their hearts and they become believers. We ask for that miracle in the lives of these people that we're praying for right now in Jesus' name. Amen.